could actually be quiet. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be starting the meeting.
Maybe use your gavel noise.
Oh, that's very quiet.
Turn it up.
We'll be starting the meeting in a moment. If people could take their seats. And the recording is commenced. Okay. So welcome, everyone, to the special electors meeting. It is a pleasure to see so many familiar faces here. We are obviously here to, at the behest of the community members who signed a petition for this meeting. So I'll declare this meeting open. The Town of Bassendean acknowledges the past and present traditional owners of the land on which we gather to conduct this meeting and pays its respects to their elders, both past and present. Please note that any person attending the meeting is required to be respectful, courteous, and have regard for individual rights and differences. We have two apologies tonight, Councillor Paul Polifka and Councillor Hilary McWilliam are both apologies. Councillors, do we have any declarations of interest on this item? No? Okay. Now, before we start from statements from members of the public, I'll just read out the special electors meeting. The purpose of the meeting is to consider a request by electors in relation to, one, the methodology and conduct of the town's engagement with the community leading to the rapid cessation of the town-managed community transport service. To request the town to proactively and constructively seek out ways to assist in the establishment of a new community transport service through a third-party volunteer or not-for-profit organisation. Three, request the town provide some material or financial assistance to a third-party volunteer or not-for-profit organisation that wishes to establish a new community transport service to continue the long tradition of serving and connecting our community. Now, just to advise that our meetings are recorded and live streamed, so just be aware of that when you come to the microphone. When you do come to the microphone, I'd ask you to state your name and address for the minute taker. So we'll now move on to statements by members of the public. During this part of the agenda, electors may make statements related to the purpose of the special meeting of electors. Each person is restricted to one statement of up to 2 minutes, unless the council by decision determines that they may speak for more than that by a further 2 minutes. During this part of the agenda, electors may ask questions related to the purpose of the special meeting of electors. All statements are to be directed through myself as the chair. 15 minutes total will be allocated to questions by members of the public on the matters contained in this agenda. Each member of the public with a question is entitled to ask up to 2 questions before other members of the public will be invited to ask their questions. Again, we can extend the timeline upon a resolution. So, questions there and here. Okay, so I'll ask, first of all, we'll do statements, then we'll go on to questions. So I'd ask you to raise your hand, Ms. Seidel, if you'd like to come to the microphone.
We can hear everyone. It's great. firstly, Mayor, I understand there was quite a few apologies and they haven't been mentioned. I think they were sent to Yvonne at the Town of Bassendean. So
Thank you. If that's the case, we'll make sure that the apologies are recorded in the minutes post the meeting. So, thank you.
I appreciate that. Well, anyway, I'm Carol Seidel, 55 Broadway, Bassendean, and welcome to the new CEO as well. Firstly, one has to wonder why the staff didn't consult the community before ceasing the volunteer transport service. An investigation into the impact on the elderly and the other users of the volunteer transport service should have been done. It seems the staff made a decision based on the interpretation of the new work health safety laws that now includes the possible industrial manslaughter charges. These charges could apply if management were found to not have been negligent by not taking preventative steps to ensure the safety of all workers, paid or volunteers. According to the industrial lawyer's explanation on ABC 20, it was the morning show, volunteers have always been under the umbrella of the Act and as the same as paid workers. It appears the easy solution was actually to close down the service to allay concerns that management could be prosecuted because they hadn't taken practical steps to prevent accidents occurring under the new revised acts. The volunteer drivers voiced their concerns about the transport service being closed in March 2022 because in the new legislation they were assured the service would continue. Then in late September, the volunteers were told the service would cease at the end of the year. The volunteers were devastated as they had been previously told the service would remain. The Town of Bassendean staff recommended that the users could apply for My Health Care package. It was suggested that seniors who did not drive or own a car could get taxi vouchers to attend appointments and shopping. The people impacted will tell you there is a taxi shortage making it extremely difficult for them to get a taxi. In many cases, the people are reporting having to wait 2 to 3 hours to be picked up, making it extremely difficult to attend appointments. Also, taxi companies just don't want to do short trips to the local shopping centre. The added cost in the forward budget provided by the Town of Bassendean staff of $71,962 is not correct. The extra $10,000 extra stated to modify the vehicles with a chairlift was not needed, as any of the users at the volunteer transport service were required to walk unassisted to the car or bus. Also, GPS maps.
Excuse me, Ms. Seidel. What I am going to say to everyone tonight is I'm going to be fairly strict on the times because we have a lot of people in the room. So I'm going to ask you if you can...
I've only got a little bit to go.
Okay, thank you.
It was about 2.5 pages there, so I'm showing restraint.
Okay.
Anyway... GPS maps are already installed in loose new vehicles, suggested by the Town of Bassendean, as suggested by the Town. Providing a training session at the beginning of each year would have been a far better option to keep volunteers up to speed with the latest regulations. The public health plan makes some nice mission statements about having older members in the community to feel engaged and welcome within our community, when in fact senior services have been closing, as the volunteer driver's service is an example. The town's public health plan talks the talk, but it needs also to deliver. There is also needs to be a serious understanding that many elderly women, some of them in their 90s, still live in their own homes within the town. Many long-term residents, some of them will need support service. In many cases, they've lived in the town for over 50 years, they've paid their rates, and now they're being felt let down by the town. To sum up what one woman said when she signed the petition, I moved to Bassendean because of the good support services that the Town of Bassendean provided for seniors. Looks like I made a bad call in wanting to live here as I'm seeing support service for the aged being closed down. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Seidel. Okay. Okay, I'll call for, yes, if you'd like to come to the microphone, state your name and address, that would be great.
Hello, everyone. My name is Sue Conway, and I live at 119 Guildford Road in Bassendean. I'd like to ask, thank you. Why was the community not involved in the decision to cease the VBS when it affects their lives so drastically? They feel safe and cared for and can rely on the bus service to take them to appointments on time, and it is a personalized and friendly service. And
is this a statement or a question? It's a question. We're in statement time at the moment. We're going to do questions next, but I will take that as a question. Mr. Gibson, would you like to address that question?
Through Madam Mayor, as reported through the council in November and December, the community transport service was ceased on the basis of workplace health and safety concerns. The reports presented to both meetings of council did provide the estimated cost of reinstating such a service, and it remains open to council to do so.
Okay. So do you have further questions or a statement?
Apologies. Through you, Madam Mayor. Is that better? Is that better?
Sorry, it's a new sound system, so we're all just getting used to it. So apologies for that. Moving the meeting along, though, what I will do... do you have further questions or a statement, ma'am?
This is a question, actually, my next.
Okay, well, while you're up, I'll allow you to do your second question, but then we will return to statements from the public, if you don't mind.
Okay, thank you. And what is the reason for the decision, after such a long time providing this bus service to our residents, why don't we, Bassendean, be independent and not engage other means of transport, which our residents, long-term ratepayers, most of them, do not want when they're happy with what has already been provided for them? So couldn't we just keep things as they were?
Okay. So as stated previously, there was new legislation brought in for WorkSafe Health and Safety in March 2022. Now, that created some differences in liability. So the administrative staff investigated how that might affect the town in respect to liability if there was a great deal of harm or death created through the use of the service. After investigating the service, there were some shortcomings identified, for instance, training of the volunteers in first aid and various other aspects of the service were identified. The service was identified to be closed down fairly rapidly until those shortcomings could be addressed. Now, in the meantime, myself, I moved an amendment to the office's recommendation in December to investigate whether the 55 plus group might consider taking over the service. So those discussions happened in January. Unfortunately, they did not progress to the group taking over the service. A report on that has not yet come back to council. So what we have now is a little bit of a break in the proceedings where there will be a report, as a consequence of this particular meeting, there will be a report provided to council in the next month or 2 months.
1 month.
Yeah. So we're here tonight to hear your statements, to answer your questions, but I would beg for your indulgence in that no one in this room actually wants to see anybody disadvantaged. There may be solutions. I don't quite know exactly what those solutions are yet because I will need, like the other councillors, I will need to read the report and the information provided to us by the officers once they've made some further investigations. But this is an opportunity for you as the community. You've called this special electors meeting to provide your statements and to ask your questions. And also, the most important part of the meeting is the motions that you as a community members might move at the end of this meeting, which will give some guidance to the council about the direction that you as the community might wish to take as well. So there are different aspects to this meeting. So we're in statement time at the moment, then we'll move into question time, and then we'll move into the notices of motion. So I would suggest to members in the chamber here that perhaps with so many people here that we don't dwell too much on the past, but rather look forward to what we can do moving forward to constructively address the issue. So in that respect, I believe that your question has been answered somewhat, and I do understand that you might have some frustration that the service has been closed down rather quickly, but we will listen to you. That's why we're here.
Thank you.
Next person who'd like to make a statement only, not question, statement.
Yes, this is a statement of my gratitude.
Your name and address, ma'am?
Oh, Loretta Lyons, 22, Unit 22, Hyde Retirement Village. Sorry.
That's okay.
I was very grateful to the Transport Service because I had no family here and I was in dire straits with my hips, and without them I don't know what I would have done. And I got so fond of these people, they were like family to me. And when it was taken away, it really cut me up to think that all of a sudden I had nothing if I needed anyone. And also with my shopping, sometimes it's heavy. And I really miss that service. And I also miss those people, and I shall always be grateful to them.
Thank you, Loretta. Next person who'd like to make a statement? Yes, sorry, the not. Yes, sorry. Again, name and address.
Yeah. Kath Keys, 39 Cumberland Way, Bessendean. Good evening, everyone. My husband and my disabled daughter have lived in Bessendean for 50 years next month. In October 21, my husband, who's now aged 92, lost much of his eyesight, so he lost his ability to drive, to read the newspaper and to watch TV. And I don't drive. That transport is our biggest hurdle. So at the end of 21, someone told us that about the council volunteers. So we got in touch. It was great. We used them on many trips to the ophthalmologist at RPH, which was just about every week for a while, at RPH, to our local GP and to his podiatrist in Old Perth Road. I found our volunteers invaluable for my fortnightly Thursday shopping trips and for my medical appointments. We used this service for about 12 months until it ceased in December last year. We would like to see our volunteers reinstated. They are reliable, courteous and pleasant, and we got to know them. They became our friends. They assisted Terry out of their bus when he needed it, into the surgery, and to when taxis do not do this. I have waited for over an hour for myself for Swan taxis to pick me up just from Beachborough to my home. Over an hour. My aged care provides me with a shopping service, but only 4 shopping bags. With me, my husband, I shop about fortnightly, and I need 8 bags. The volunteers did many short trips to suit individual shoppers' needs. So I was able to use as many shopping bags as I needed. Many of the women live alone and their shopping list is short and they do not wish to wait for long periods of time before being driven home.
Now, I'm just going to interrupt because, yes, again, ladies and gentlemen...
Yes, is it long? Too long, is it?
We are all going over time here. We need to stick to the 2-minute rule if we can.
Okay, well, that's fine. I think I've just about said it all. But one thing I want to bring up too is the aged care aren't easy to get into these days. They've closed their books. My husband has just been given another 2 hours, but our aged care provider can't provide them with that. Another 2 hours care a week. But so their books are closed. It's not easy to get into. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, we've done the 15 minutes. So, ladies and gentlemen, we've already exceeded 15 minutes of public statement time. So if there's anybody else who'd like to make a statement, okay. So what we'll need to do is have a mover from the audience to move to extend the time. Okay, we've got Ms. Seidel and a seconder. Oh, I don't know how many of you. Sorry. Yes. Sorry, what's your full name again?
Loretta Lines.
Sorry, I couldn't remember your last name. So we have a mover and a seconder to extend the time. So we'll now ask... And Anne, we know that you're a very good performer when you go.
Anne Brinkworth, 19 Ida Street, Bassendean. I'd like to do just a very short impact statement, which is very dear to my heart because, as you know, I've been using it a lot. I had to go to the Mount Hospital for a medical procedure. The volunteer driver was very caring. He called me the next day to see how I was going. Because he knew I was alone, he also assisted anything that I got. Did I need anything at the shops? During COVID, the volunteer driver service would call to see if I was out and required anything. All of the drivers were so caring, and the staff in the customer service were so caring. I was one of the people stuck for 3 hours down at Coles waiting for a taxi. If it hadn't been for the beautiful security guy down there, I don't know whether I'd be here now. Please don't tell people to book taxis. They are not reliable and they are not caring. Thank you.
Any other person wanting to do a public statement? I think, no, I don't think so, because we'll... If you wish to make a statement, please raise your hand and come to the microphone. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Trish, and remember, 2-minute rule.
Anne Copleston from 81 Parker Street. As I previously said at the previous meeting, one of our neighbours, Val Brockman, a good West Australian name, managed to stay living in her own home well into her 90s. She was riddled with cancer. The volunteer driver service used to pick her up and take her to her appointments. We actually ran into her son-in-law, who was cleaning out her house after she passed away, and he was absolutely gobsmacked that the service was closed, because there was no way in the world that she would have been able to stay in the comfort of her own home without that service. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, unless there are any other people wanting to make a statement, we will move on to question time. Okay, so moving on to question time, same, you raise your hand, come to the microphone, state your name and address. So who would like to ask a question? Okay, lady at the back.
Pat Carpwood, 6 Hobley Place, Eden Hill. I was just wondering, what was there about 55 plus that they could do that the council couldn't do, that you were looking at them possibly taking over the service?
Okay. So the 55 plus group are a completely volunteer-run organisation. They also are located right next door to where the volunteer service office existed. The 55 plus group expressed an interest in taking over the service, although they hadn't really explored all aspects of the service. They just expressed an interest. So because they expressed that interest, I actually moved an amendment for the administration to engage with them to see if they'd take over the service. The reasons relate to the difference between an organisation that has paid employees and an organisation that is solely volunteers. Under the legislation, an organisation that has employees is a PCBU, which stands for Person Conducting a Business or Undertaking. Now, a PCBU with employees, in a structure like that, the CEO of that organisation is held liable for any severe harm or death that might come about from a workplace accident. Whereas under the legislation, a volunteer, exclusively run volunteer organisation is not liable for that prosecution. So it's recognised, the state government has recognised that volunteer organisations are engaged in their work simply to benefit the community. And so there are many aspects to the legislation which could be debated. Even lawyers are still debating aspects of that legislation. But under the circumstances, the administrative staff looked at the service and identified some shortcomings, felt that there were some risks associated with the running of that service, and felt that if the service was to continue, there needed to be some major changes, principally associated with training of volunteers to handle different situations. So irrespective of what any of us might think, the training would have required some months to accomplish anyway. So under those circumstances, the CEO at that time advised council that the service should be closed at the end of December. So that was brought to us as a report to note that the service would be closed. And we are now here. The discussions with the 55 group happened in January and didn't lead anywhere. So we're moving through this process now, seeking solutions.
So the council isn't prepared to look into the volunteer drivers possibly being trained?
I didn't say that. I said that we had put forward a potential field of investigation with the 55 plus group, but that has come to that has not worked out. So the next stage will what will be generated through tonight's meeting will be a report to council. I believe that the administration are exploring different avenues. The councillors around this table have not read what that new report will contain, and councillors generally have to wait to hear new information before we can actually make a decision. We certainly shouldn't be speculating on the direction that might be taken, because there may be several different ways forward at this time.
So you are still pursuing a possibility that the service may be reinstated?
I didn't say that either.
Okay, I'm interpreting you very badly then.
Thank you. I might just talk to that question if I can, Madam Chair. The reason we're here tonight is the most important part of the meeting is to hear a notice of motion from the electors, and I know there's been one formulated, and that notice of motion will and voted by the people that are here tonight. That drives my administration to deliver on that notice of motion. So we are here to serve you. So when that notice of motion is put, you will vote. And if that gets up tonight, then the administration has to respond to that notice of motion to produce a detailed report for council by May the 23rd. So the power tonight is with the people to make that notice of motion so we can get on and do the due diligence required, and then council can vote. The council cannot at this point do anything until we've done that.
Other than the fact that you've closed the service down, that's finite and...
Well, it is finite.
Until this motion.
Until the motion instructs us, because the motion, based on the motion as we've read out tonight, there was three parts to that motion, but the motion that I am aware of that's coming today is very simple, and it is asking for a reinstatement. So if that's the motion that is put by you tonight, and if that's the motion that gets up, then the effort of council and the staff is to address that particular motion.
Okay, thank you very much, Oliver.
Okay. Mr. Yates.
Good evening all for attending, and welcome to our new CEO, Don Yates, 10 Thompson Road, Bassendean, sometimes Success Hill. I'd just really like to address it to the councillors and the staff. The community came together in 2017 and developed the strategic community plan, a 10-year strategic community plan. It had seven priorities, and the council and the staff seem to have forgotten those priorities. I'll just remind you of some of them.
Mr. Yates, is this a question relating to the item?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
I'm asking that the councillors and the staff remember these priorities of the strategic community plan of 2017. It's a 10-year plan, so it's still alive today. So one of the priorities was to strengthen the connectivity of our community. Another priority was to adjust the finances to have sustainability. That means finding the money to pay for services. I guess another priority of the cause was facilitating people-centric services. That's what the bus service was, a people-centric service. And I just hope that the councillors and the staff recognise what these priorities were. And I guess the last one of these priorities was building a culture and a community that was supportive. And I guess the question to the councillors are, maybe you need to think about what you might have forgotten when it comes to priorities.
Any other questions?
Yeah,
yes, sir.
So my question is in a few parts.
Your name and address, sir.
Oh, sorry. Clive Brown, 2 Surrey Street in Bassendean. My question is in a few parts, and I'd like an answer to each of these parts. One, Does the council employ people who drive vehicles as part of their job? Two, does the council provide all of the things to those people who drive for the council that were included in the report to council as to the things that have to be provided to volunteer drivers? Three, if not, why not? Four, if so, why is it such a problem to provide that sort of information and training to volunteers? I don't understand it.
Okay, so...
And let me also say...
So can we answer some of those questions?
Yes, good.
Okay, so...
Thank you. Number of questions. I might start, but I also might... I may defer to a fellow director who wrote the report, but the first answer is yes. We're, range of services come to mind as a particular employee base within the council that are driving around all day in vehicles and serving the community. So, yes, we do employ people that drive machinery, as well as our works and services department, who are mowers and trucks and the like. So it is core business. And the volunteer business is core business that was done a certain way. The national government has come in with legislation over and above what we would think is normal, and it's incumbent on us now to meet those requirements. The biggest issue for me as a CEO is now I am personally liable. I cannot get insurance in my position to protect my home and my assets as a result of a death, as a result of an incident where I'm found liable through lack of training, a lack of training registers, a volunteer does something untoward to a particular client. So the risk is real. It's not made up. We're not running away from it. The risk is real. And I think I've come from a rural background where bushfire brigades are going to walk off the jobs because of this particular legislation. If you're angry with somebody, you shouldn't be angry with the staff and the council. You should be angry with the legislation and the people that put it in and your local federal member. We're here to find a solution, but getting angry at staff and trying to find a simple solution to what is a complicated question is not the answer. I might defer to Luke now to see more specific details in relation to the legislation. It's not as easy as just training. There's a number of aspects when we did the assessment that would need to be implemented. Thanks, Luke.
Through you, Madam Mayor. In following on from the CEO's commentary, the reports presented to Council in both November and December set out in some detail the risk assessment undertaken by staff and also set out the recommended mitigation measures and estimated cost of that. So the staff are certainly not saying that this cannot be done. It is simply saying, and following on from the CEO's point, that to do it safely and to do it in accordance with the legislation, it will come at a cost. And that is a decision for council whether it chooses to bear that cost. The service was ceased abruptly by staff, not council, I can confirm that, but that was done in response to the legislation and the risk that was going to be posed personally to the CEO. It is open to council to fund the reinstatement of their service if it so chooses.
Well, my second question is this, and I preface this. I have served on the State Occupational Health and Safety Commission for years. I have served on the National Occupational Health and Safety Commission for years. And I was amazed at what was said in that council report. I was amazed. And it is state legislation, it's not Commonwealth legislation. And you haven't answered the question. And my question is this. Do you provide all of the things that you said were required to be provided to volunteers, do you provide that to your paid staff? It's a very simple question.
Mr. Brown,
and if you provide that,
please.
If you provide that to your paid staff, why can't you provide it to volunteers?
Okay. There has been no suggestion that it can't be provided to volunteers, but it will require time if that training is going to be implemented. Now, Mr. Brown, I understand that you are exhibiting some degree of impatience. However, as has been stated in this meeting, this is a meeting to hear the aspirations of this group of residents in respect to the motions that you will put up. And that will provide some guidance to the council and the administration moving forward. So I thank you, Mr. Brown, for your commentary and the questions. But I think it's quite obvious that the town staff do receive training in all aspects of the work that they do. But whether that's extended to the volunteers, clearly in December, it was identified that those volunteers required training that they may not have had up to that date.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. Did anyone in the audience wish to put up the notice of motion that's been sent through to the council? There was one sent through on Sunday, I believe. And no, you may ask a question if you'd like to, Ms. McBecker. Okay, if you'd come to the microphone. I just was curious about whether the notice of motion was going to be put, so that's okay.
I think many of us are curious about that.
Yes. Yes.
Right. Thank you, Mayor, and welcome, new CEO. Anne Macbeth, 27 Maley Street, Ashfield. And I have a piece of paper to make sure I don't wander off. Okay. What I've been known to do. As everyone is probably aware, the Swanshire and Bayswater Shire are actively advertising their volunteer driver's services. How have they managed to mitigate the risks when the town of Bassendean can't? Their services may be slightly different, but are still run by volunteers and funded by the respective councils. Okay. Now this evening, I have been pleased to hear that the process that is occurring is that there is going to be further investigation of options by the officers and a report to council. So I guess I'm very much encouraging the officers to look at what Bayswater and Swan are doing, right, and also how they are funding it, because it will cost money, right? Okay. And all of us in this room look forward to hearing a very positive result from that kind of research and for those kinds of options.
Okay, so Ms. Macbeth, I actually have read the guidelines to the Bayswater service, volunteer bus service, which is under a hire situation where it's hired out to community groups. It doesn't operate in quite the same manner as what the service here in Bassendean operated under. I have been advised that that service as well is under review. Now, I'm not sure where they'll go with that. I don't know, because we're obviously in Bassendean and that's a Bayswater service. So, yes, I think that the fact that staff and myself have actually read that particular guideline for that council would indicate that there is some interest in seeing how others operate.
Thank you.
Okay. So, would questions? Yes, sir.
Robert Gies, 47 Fifth Avenue, Bassendean. I'll just ask. Has the bus been disposed of?
I would have to ask the officer on that one.
Through, Madam Mayor, no.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so, yes, it's way over 15 minutes, apologies. We can either move to the motions, or if we're going to continue with questions, I'll have to ask for a mover to continue with questions for an additional time. Do we have a mover to... Okay, and your name, ma'am? Sorry, I'm finding it hard to hear. Okay, so you've moved to extend the time, and Mr. Busby, you seconded?
Yep.
Okay, so who would like to ask another question? Mr. Busby?
Need to get that bus service back on.
Your name and address, sir?
My name and address, Bill Busby, 53 Hague Street, Ashfield. Just going through some of the bits and pieces, the old budget doesn't include any risk mitigation costs, so I'd query why that is. The old Act required risks to be mitigated. Who was risk management paid for previously?
I believe that that's an ongoing part of business as usual, but I will defer to the CEO on that one.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. In my short 2 weeks, I have discovered lots, but I haven't drilled down that far yet. But risk mitigation is more of a general approach we take across every business unit. So it's at an operational level, and then we elevate strategic risk to the audit and risk committee. So have we drilled right down to each bus service with volunteers? I'm not sure. It would be before my time, but I would sincerely doubt that we've gone to that level. Now that the legislation is in, it's been brought to our attention, and we've checked in with our insurer, which is LGIS. They've alerted staff that there is a real risk and have suggested immediate cessation of that service until we can get our house in order. So we've taken the advice from our insurer to note the fact we're fully exposed. So the answer to the question, I'm not sure if that answers it.
No, it doesn't. But the thing is, as well, you'll have a work health and safety committee who meet on a regular, weekly, monthly basis and take stuff up to senior management, and it would be dealt with relatively quickly. Has anyone brought anything up safety-wise to indicate that the community service run by volunteers, slightly monitored by the management team, whoever he or she was at risk of accidents happening, flat tyres, we've got a work health and safety committee at our work. They say something, we've got to act on it.
Yeah.
Put them through training, get it done, get it stamped, everyone agreed, get everyone on board and working safely. And we simply say to all of our guys, do not work unsafe. If it's unsafe, refuse to work. Has that happened with the bus service, that the volunteers have been told they're working unsafely? Has the person supervising them asked the management team to do any training to provide updates and keep them up to date with what's currently safe?
Well, it's a difficult situation because it's not a normal work setting. So I think that's the issue. And
could you speak up a little bit, sir?
Yeah, sorry. So it's a difficult. I'm saying it's a difficult situation because it's not a normal work setting. So we actually think, as an administration, that our volunteers do a great job and it is relatively safe. There's no red flags, but that is not good enough in a court of law, and it's not good enough under the legislation. So once we've been alerted to the fact that there's an issue and we've done a deeper dive and a risk assessment, the advice is to cease until you can put the mitigation practices in place.
The question I asked was, has any mitigation issues been raised by the volunteer group or the people supervising the volunteer group to say that car's unsafe, whatever it may be, the footpath's unsafe? Has anything come out of the Bassendean bus community service, which is obviously massive for the community, and it's great that the town's done it for so many years, well done, but has any risks come out of the vehicles, the equipment they've used, to say that group is at risk of having an accident? The bus is too old?
We'll defer to Mr. Thank Gibson. You. Thank you.
Through you, Madam Mayor, yes, a review was done. There were sort of some concerns for some time, and they were sort of addressed as best as possible. But with the inception of the new legislation, those concerns were heightened. That led to a full and thorough review of the service and the risks associated with delivering the service. The outcomes of that review were put in the reports to Council in both November and December, highlighting the concerns, the risks, the recommended mitigation responses and the estimated costs of those recommended mitigation responses, and the information is there for everyone to see.
Can that be made public?
It is already made public.
It is public.
Excellent.
Mr. Buzz, I think that you've had your fair share
of questions. That's one question,
yep. I'm going to ask you to sit down and I will go around the
audience. I thought we had two questions.
You've had multiple questions.
It was rather the same item. I mean, everyone here...
Mr. Busby, please. Okay.
I'm saying please as well.
Okay. I will allow one more question and it will be short. Thank you,
Madam Mayor. The Over 55s meeting, who kept the minutes for the meeting and who chaired the meeting? Did any councillors attend to represent the councillors at that meeting? Because we've seen nothing back from
it. Okay, so councillors did not attend because it was a direction for the administration to make the engagement. So I will have to defer to Mr. Gibson.
Through you, Madam Mayor, I'd have to take that question on notice, but can certainly report back through council for the May round of meetings as to when that meeting took place and what the outcomes were.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. So, do we have any other questions? Okay, Ms. Brinkworth. Okay, sorry. Sir, you'll have to come to the microphone. Your name and address first.
James Laffer, 27 North Road, Bassendean.
Thank you, James.
Page 14 of the Bassendean briefing session. The estimated cost of the Stage 1 design is $8,400, which will need to be budgeted in 2020.
Sir, is this relating to the Community Transport Volunteer Service?
No.
Okay, so this meeting is specifically a special electors meeting dealing with the Volunteer Community Transport Service. So if your question is relating to something else, I'll have to ask you to sit down until this particular section of the meeting is finished.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we are moving on and time is getting so. Miss Brinkworth, you wanted to...
Just a very quick question, I'm sure you can hear me. Where does the $1.5 million budget come from?
I'm lost, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but it's a state or Commonwealth.
We're talking about the public health plan. That is actually not part of this meeting. It's not relevant to this particular meeting tonight. Okay, but that's the funding is not relevant to the reinstatement of the service or the continuation of the service. Okay, one more question and then I really think that we need to move on to the motions. So, ma'am, yes, would you like to come to the microphone?
Anne Copleston, 81 Parker Street. Apparently the old Act and the new Act treated volunteers in the same way. The new legislation makes it clearer and there are the manslaughter clauses. Has anybody on the council actually contacted the office, the WorkSafe Commissioner, for clarification on this? And if so, what was their responses? Because we're waiting for advice from them. And also, do the admin staff stand by their forward budget figures that they published, including the $10,000 to install a wheelchair lift that wasn't required? Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Gibson, would you like to address...
Through Madam Mayor, staff haven't contacted the WorkSafe Commissioner but have sought advice from LGIS, as the CEO previously suggested. In terms of the $10,000 estimate for the modification to the vehicle, that was a very rough figure put in there for the purpose of estimations only. We haven't got detailed quotes. If Council is minded to re-establish the service in doing so, seek to comply with the Disability Discrimination Act, staff would go and get more detailed quotes for the modification of the vehicle.
Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, I would like to close question time now and move on to motions. Now, I understand I think you were going to, if you'd like to come up to the microphone and read out the motion that you're proposing, sir.
Alan Copleston, 81 Parker Street. I've got two motions.
Okay.
One, that the town of Bassendean reinstate and run the volunteer transport service within the town of Bassendean.
Okay.
Motion two.
Just one motion at a time.
Okay.
So, Mr. Copleston Stone, you're moving that notice of motion. I would ask if there's anyone in the audience who wishes to second that. Ms. Seidel? Okay. I'd ask for all those who are in favour of that motion to raise your hands and just hold them up for a moment. So, ladies, just hold your hands up for a moment. We just do a quick count. It's not quite unanimous. Some people have not. We have a young lady down the back there who hasn't raised. Okay.
It's a majority.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, that's definitely carried, sir.
Okay.
So, and your next...
The second motion is that council stroke administration proactively and constructively assist in the establishment of a new community transport service.
Okay, so Mr. Copleston, you're moving that particular motion, your second motion. Do I have a seconder? Mr. Busby, do I have anyone against?
Okay. Some explanation of that motion.
Well, it's the intent.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, sorry.
Yes.
The motions that I've put, explain what the reasoning for them. The first one is obvious. It's what everyone wants. The second one gives council the ability to go back to over 55s or some other group to fund the service so that it's run not directly by council but subsidised by council, provide vehicles, whatever they can.
So
it's like an alternative to just going back to what they had before.
Okay, so Mr. Copleston, you have moved that. I believe Mr. Busby seconded it. If I'd like to put that to the vote. All those in favour of that particular motion, could you raise your hands? Okay, so... Okay, so that is also the majority. I'll just ask if there was anyone against. I don't think there was. So. Okay, so we've got two motions that have been passed. Sir, please, you're in a meeting. If you're not addressing through the microphone, please restrain yourself from talking. Thank you. Yes, you were. So, sorry. Okay, yes, you were. Sir, could you please be quiet in the meeting? We are in a meeting. We've had two notices of I don't wish to hear another word, please. Thank you. Okay, I would like to proceed with Mr. Copleston, who has had two notices of motion, or two motions which have been passed. And that's good, because that
Do
gives us...
To be tabled? Do you need to
Madam Chair, could I ask that the gentleman table those, so we've just got the correct wording for the minutes?
Yes, that would be excellent. Thank you. Do you have another motion, Ms. Seidel? Ms. Seidel, we've finished question time. We've finished. No, we have finished, right? We've done the motions. We are at the closure of the meeting. We are. Mr. Bridges, you understand the process. We have finished, Mr. Bridges.
Yeah, I'm just seeking some clarification. And it's Paul Bridges, 150 West Road, Bassendean, on what the difference between a notice of motion and a motion is, because they're used interchangeably here, and my understanding is that people have moved motions.
It's a motion, sir.
Thank you.
Yep. So And clearly the chair is at fault there in using the terms inter... Yes, okay. So I'm going to declare this meeting closed. Thank you, everyone, for coming. The motions that have been put forward will provide some direction. Thank you, Mr. Copleston. And, yes, thank you, everyone, for attending.
Thank you.